you are either fortunate or unfortunate to be saddled with another Father Mike this weekend. I am Father Mike Fritsch. That name may sound a little bit familiar because my dad grew up in Brazil, Batesville, right down the road. So that's that side of the family. I'm a Fritsch from Batesville, although I'm not. I grew up in Brazil, the real Brazil, Indiana. So I've lost my accent. Dad moved there after the war with a job, and that's where he met my mother and all those good things. It's an honor, it's a privilege to be here for Father Mike, your Father Mike. This weekend, his parents are here, Steve and Diane. Do you want to stand up for an applause? No, you don't. They know you, don't they? Diane was my secretary in Bloomington, Indiana, for many, many years at St. John the Apostle Parish. So that's how far we go back. And Father Mike and I go back to that point. Met him, talked with him, spent a lot of time with him all through his discernment through IU. And so I guess I'm partially responsible for you having Father Kuchar here, better or worse. And I've told him this before, and not just because Steve and Diane are here, but I think Father Mike is one of our truly outstanding young priests. And the readings today all have to do with gratitude, thanksgiving. And so I hope you feel that way, to have him here. He is doing an outstanding job with vocations. He is just a great leader, a great, great guy. And he's on a pilgrimage over to Medjugorje and to Rome. And I believe he comes back on Thursday. So keep him in prayer and all the people with him, that he doesn't lose anybody on the pilgrimage, and that they come back blessed and refreshed. When I was little, growing up, down south of Bloomington near Bedford and Mitchell, there's a state park. Is that McCormick's Creek? Or what's it, Springmill? Springmill. I don't think you can do this anymore, but they had a cave called Donaldson Cave. And you used to be able to get in a flat boat and go back in the caves with a guide. And it was pitch dark back in that cave. And they'd turn the lanterns off and just have you back in that cave. I remember being there one time with my parents and my older brother. And, of course, they wanted to do that. Well, I didn't want to. I was only like 5 years old. And so being the good German parents that they are, they said, well, we're going to do it. And so they left me sitting on a bench with a total stranger, this grandmotherly looking little lady. But I saw them go into that cave and the darkness just enveloped them. And I thought, oh, good God, I'm an orphan. I'm never going to see him again. They're floating out into there. And I looked at this old lady and she was very sweet. But then as I grew up, I gave Mom, particularly Mom, a lot of grief. I said, can you even imagine today leaving a 5-year-old kid with a complete stranger in a state park? That was my good parents. They just sailed off and left me there. But in gratitude, I thought of that truism because of the theme, gratitude, thankfulness, that we hear all through the readings today. Before I went to seminary, I was a history teacher. And so a lot of times when I preach, I try to bring out the history of some of the readings and the setting, it's called. And I'll do that a little bit now. The Jews at this reading with Naaman, the first guy with leprosy, they had gone through a horrible, horrible, tremendous period of exile and terrible, tremendous upheaval that you just can't even imagine, being carried off into slavery and everything. And under the leadership of Nehemiah, the governor, and Ezra, the priest, they attempted to rebuild the Jewish people. Nehemiah built the walls. He was the physical rebuilder, the mortar and bricks, kind of like you're doing here to your beautiful church. And Ezra tried to restore their religious sense, their heritage of being the chosen people. Samaritans were the ones that were somewhat left behind, and they compromised with Assyria when they were conquered. And it's important for us to remember that, because that is the hostility between the Samaritans and the Jewish people. Samaria was what had been the northern kingdom of Israel before it was conquered. And in order to control them, the government mixed all of the conquered people together, assimilated them into pagan religion, pagan culture, pagan habits, even language. And so the people that were left behind, the Samaritans, the Jews looked upon as illegitimate children of God. They had sold out. They had compromised. And so you can see why the Jewish people hated the Samaritans. They were the Quislings, which is a term from World War II, the people that cooperated with the Nazis. Brings us to Naaman, and then later to the 10 lepers. What cured Naaman and the lepers was not only their faith, but obedience to the command of God. They did what God commanded them to do. It was only after they followed his command that they were healed. His chosen ones, the lepers and Naaman, told to bathe, go show yourself to the priest, and they were cured because they obeyed. Obedience leads to salvation. Obedience leads to the mercy of God. In the gospel, the only leper to go back was that Samaritan. And that was simply unbelievable to the Jews of Jesus' day. It's important for us, I think, to recognize in all of that, that the leper, the Samaritan, was not only healed, but he was converted. Because not only did he have faith, but he came to believe that Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God. A dreaded Samaritan could believe in faith. And so in a way, he was an evangelist to the other nine, the good Jews, supposedly. He came to believe, and so he was healed. The other nine were no doubt in great shock because they were healed, of course. But really, and I think we fall into this too, isn't that what God is supposed to do? We pray to him, we ask him, we entreat him. He's God. Isn't he supposed to hear and to grant? That's what we've come to expect of God. The Samaritan recognized the true source of his healing. He saw and believed, as I said, that Christ was the mediator, the true Son of God. He acknowledged the reality that none of us can ever, ever repay God for his gifts to us. That is the mark of a humble, mature believer. That mark of conversion in Christ is what we call gratitude. We take so much for granted, don't we? And I'm talking about far more than physical things, like your church here. I'm talking more spiritual, eternal life. Like the lepers, don't we at times, when we pray, come to the altar of God, come into the Lord's presence, and list all of our needs, list all of our wants, which is good. It's called prayer petition. But like those lepers, don't we kind of back here think, well, okay, now step up. God, do what you're supposed to do. I've done this and this, so you step up. As I said, one of the greatest things that we take for granted, I truly believe, is the treasure that is our Catholic faith. It's the greatest possession, the pearl of great price. Nothing in this world is more important than our faith, than our Catholic faith. We come to Mass oftentimes, and we believe that it will always be available. It will always be convenient for us, for me. That's an attitude that maybe deep down we bring. We simply believe that God many times understands our sins, of course. So why go to confession? He already knows it. Do what you're supposed to do and grant me forgiveness. How often do we come into this holy place or any Catholic church where we are, and we tend to forget the reality that we are in the very presence of Jesus Christ himself, the very presence of God. So we're not totally unlike those nine lepers that were healed, are we? Too often we can treat the good God as if we deserve what we have, or maybe even go so far as to say, I deserve more than I have from you. That Samaritan learned in a real dramatic fashion the secret of ages, that Jesus Christ owes us nothing. He owes us nothing. but we owe him everything. Our only possible response is praise, thanksgiving, gratitude, humility. And so we pray at this Mass today, let that always be so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Lord.